Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. We are here in the Chovos Levavos, Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Perek Gimel. And last week we went through the sixth Cheshbon HaNefesh. And now we go on to the seventh Cheshbon HaNefesh out of the 30. So he says that the seventh major meditation that a person should have in mind and keep in mind is that a person has misyaches el alikov b'chol apratim k'moy evet. A person has to relate to the Rabbeinu Shlom in every aspect of his life, in every aspect of his service, like a servant to a king. And as we mentioned many times, one of the reasons it's so hard today to serve Hashem properly is because there are no longer any kings, and there are no longer any absolute servants. So democracy makes it very hard for us to even conjure in our minds an illustration, a mental image of what it means to have a king and to have absolute obedience with instant death if a person doesn't totally subserviate himself to a king. So he says, here's how the cheshbon has to go. Well, how am I supposed to relate to Hashem like a king, an absolute monarch? Not a benign monarch, not a democratic monarch, but a real monarch who has absolute power of life and death over me. So he says, interestingly enough, he says, no, Hashem is a benign monarch. First you have to realize how much we owe our lives to the Rabbeinu Shlom. How good Hashem is to us all the time. How Hashem gives us three meals a day. How the Rabbeinu Shlom gives us our shoes and our clothing when we need them. And there's water in the faucet. And not only that, this is, he says, a gewaltige cheshbon is Hashem gives us seichel upon demand. He is really, we're pretty stupid, he says. We have seichel, we have sichle acholosh, we have very weak brain, we're very soft on the brain, he says. Our seichel is very schwach. But you know, whenever a crisis comes or a moment of decision comes, like some out of nowhere, a flash of intuition, a flash of brightness suddenly illuminates our mind, and we get out of here. We survive. Like at the last second. And you don't even know where it came from. I was driving by my business, an absolute empty street on Friday near the convention center. It's out in the middle of nowhere, the convention center, that good as this convention. So I was just looking for some gas, and I ran out of gas. I was just looking for a gas station. It was absolutely desolate out there, especially on Thanksgiving weekend. Desolate, middle of New Jersey someplace. Just driving down this big, wide-open street, and suddenly, out of nowhere, I see a yellow Mustang in this driveway, and I see there. So I watched it very carefully, but they see me coming, and I'm going, and so just I'm real nearby, this Mustang just pulls right out of the driveway and goes right in front of me. I was pretty scared because they took up the whole lane. I just had to like jump over the curb. I had to just get my car. It was less than a second, the whole thing. If I had not swerved that second, I would have gone smashed into that car. Smashed right into the car. I was going 30, 35 miles an hour. This car just, I couldn't get, I mean, I gave it a big five. But like if I didn't see it, if I didn't have an eye trained on the car, just watching it carefully, and Hashem gave me this, I don't know, Hashem told me, I just jumped over the curve with one wheel, I would have hit the car. So sometimes you just drive, Hashem just gives you that second of adrenaline, that I don't know, just pushed my hand to push the steering wheel. So we realize that the Rabbeinu Shlom is always there when we need him. We'll think about the pasuk in Tilum Kuf Yutes. David HaMelech says, "Avdecha oni, I am your servant. Havineni, therefore give me bina, insight. Ve'edai desecha, I will know your testimonies, meaning I will know how the seichel you give me testifies to your absolute care for me and you are running my entire life. So it's like it works both ways. Hashem is my king because he does everything for me, and the schus that I accept that I'm a servant, I can ask for bina, avdecha ani, because I totally leave my life in your hand. Havineni, give me the extra insight. Bina is the extra that I need in special situations. Veidei desecha, let me understand those things that testify to what your will is. And then, when a person is makir, all the great goodness Hashem does, in every moment, every movement, and he will be aware that Hashem is watching us every second, both in our overt actions and our hidden thoughts and our hidden actions, and that Hashem is watching me, and Hashem is kovelos and bekvolav v'sholeleim. He says a person has to have in his mind that even though I have free choice, I have free choice, but I'm literally a marionette. We are literally marionettes, not puppets, worse yet, a marionette who has various strings attached to his hands and his feet and other parts of the body, depending on what kind of marionette it is, and the mouth. And the puppeteer gives a tug very skillfully at all times, but the puppeteer is an absolute control of the marionette. The marionette is a dead doll. It's lifeless. It has no strength on its own. It has no brains. It's absolutely nothing. It's a marionette. We are marionettes in the hands of Hashem. Koivel oisan, Kadosh Baruch Hu mashgiach al kol tumnu oisav, the koivel oisan, the kavolav, and Hashem ties them with his strings. The sholeh aleihem, Hashem has full control over us. And it looks as if I have free will. No, he says, really, all this is just a test. Hashem really has us tied up, hand and foot. So why, you tell me, Rabbi, I have free choice. Yeah, well, you have free choice. Hashem lets you believe you have free choice, and of course, it's very hard to comprehend. So the Rambam says, it's very hard to reconcile the two, but that's how we have to think. Hashem is in charge of everything, and yet he's always testing me to see what choices I'll make. But really, ultimately, he's in charge of everything I do. How does that work? As well he does. That's the greatest contradiction, the hardest enigma to comprehend, but we have to maintain the balance of believing in both. He is testing us all the time. The Meshu knows saying, Bechira l'shtamesh beivorav l'hato, says Rayona l'fi ashpoas yitzurah tov o yitzurah ra. Hashem is always testing us, because he gives us free choice to use my hands, use my feet, use my mind to think whatever I want to think. Although really, all thought comes from God. Hashem lets me do whatever I want, although we can't lift our hand unless the Ribbono Shel Olam yanks the string like a puppeteer. So how could we have free choice? Says the Rambam, that is our faith, that only God comprehends it. God's a little bigger than we are. We can't understand how that can be, but he does, it's a fact, and we believe in both. So realizing that God is my king, and God has total control of my life, I should choose to use my hands and feet and my mind only to do things that will be motzei chen b'nei Hashem. I would like to do things that will find favor in God's eyes, and because I do these things, God will bring me closer to him. And I beg God, listen to this, Shu yosir me olav es ha-tipshus ha-meinas oisei lirois es ha-toivais ha-gdoiles ha-shem oisei manu. Really, he says, everybody, it's so clear that Hashem is running our lives. Anybody with half a brain should be clearly convinced that Hashem is in charge and that I am totally helpless. But, so how come I don't see it so clearly? How come I have such a hard time? How come someone does me a favor? If someone will give me a $5 bill, I'll give him a much bigger thank you, with much more enthusiasm than they davened Shmuel Esther this morning. Just come over, try it. Don't give me a $20 bill? I don't know, for $5, I get too excited. Someone give me a $20 bill this morning. Here's a $20 bill. Here's a $50 bill. Go out to supper tonight. Take your wife out to supper. Wow, what a nice guy. What a friend of mine. Ooh, wow. Send him a thank you note. Chanukah, I might buy him a safer. $50, cheap. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is giving me everything, every oxygen, blood, everything, every second, my brain, my mind, my hands. And I didn't daven with as much enthusiasm as I'm pumping this guy's hand to give me a $50 bill to take my wife out to dinner tonight. You know what? He says, because there's a curse called tipshus, stupidity. There's a klipa, there's a shell, there's a cloud over our brains called stupidity, tipshus, idiocy, that doesn't let us a tipshus, a minas, it's a curse. There's this stupidity, it's called tipshus aleiv. And you know the Torah in Devarim, it says, we have to circumcise the foreskin of our heart, and the targum of foreskin, orla, which is comparable to the orla on the bris milah, orlas levavchem is tipshus levavchem. There's a tipshus, there's like a skin. We have to, it's a metaphor. Just like there's a skin covering over the male member, and it's in the way, and it has to be circumcised. So too over our hearts and our minds. It is enveloped in a thick membrane, an intellectual, emotional membrane called tipshus, stupidity. And we have to circumcise it. So there's a lot of imagery necessary. And how do you circumcise it? Where is the tool? Where is the knife? The knife is our incisive seichel, that we have to have enough seichel to say, Rebbeinu Shalom, help me, just like Avram couldn't make the bris milah on his physical flesh foreskin alone, the choris of my bris, Hashem held his hand, Hashem help me, help my mind focus on my own stupidity and get rid of this, so I should live a life of awareness and see how good you are to me all the time. And Levi, I should make a bracha once today. I'm supposed to be making 100 brachas today. I have 100 chances today. 100 chances. 100 chances to really thank Hashem. 100 times. That's from up, I'll be up today for 18 hours, 16 hours. So that means that I have, 7 times a day, 7 times every hour approximately, I can bless Hashem enthusiastically. So think about how enthusiastic we are to a customer when we make a sale. Make a sale with a customer, you sell them a lamp, and what's your big profit on the lamp? $10 bucks on the lamp, $100, how much you make on it already? Pump his hand, give him your card, make sure you send him a season's greeting card already also. You send them a reminder, gewaltig, you sold them something, potential for the future. And how enthusiastic are we when we make any one of these 100 brachas today over this life-giving glass of water? I make a bracha refaining with Shmoneh Esrei, cure me Hashem, heal me, heal my loved ones. How much enthusiasm. So tipshus, we're stupid, we're really stupid. And we have to daven to rid ourselves of the tipshus halev, the stupidity of the heart. And one of the ways of getting rid of that stupidity is by being afraid of Hashem and to be embarrassed about how stupid we are, how foolish we are, how trivial we are, how misguided we are. And I should love Hashem, and I can't wait to do His ratzon. So we all know that anybody who's nice to us, so the kids make a chasna, oh boy, I can't wait for the chasna, I can't wait to buy them a beautiful chasna present. I know the parents wouldn't take a present for me, but I can't wait, I'll buy their kid a nice present, buy the kid bar mitzvah, the son, oh, I want to show how much I appreciate them, I'll be sure to be at the bar mitzvah, I can't wait to get to the bar mitzvah, I can't wait to get to the chasna, this person's been so good to me, you have to travel, I can't wait. But we don't lose sleep at night, I can't wait to get up in the morning, I'll put my alarm clock, so I should get to davening 10 minutes early. That we don't bother with. No one's a shtoik is to dav the bench. So we're looking forward to breakfast, and we're saying to ourselves right now, when's that rabbi going to stop talking? It's 9 o'clock already. Boy, I hope you finished on time today for once at 9:15, because I'm hungry and I want to dig into my Sunday bagels and lox. So I do hope that Rabbi will not go into overtime as usual. So we have a big mishtoike for Sunday bagels and lox. But how much of a mishtoike, how much do we yearn to serve Hashem? We yearn, I couldn't sleep, I can't wait to put on tefillin this morning. I just couldn't wait. When was the last time you checked your tefillin? I'm yearning to put on my talis this morning. You checked the tzitzis carefully? I was just yearning. So he says you can't yearn until first we recognize that we have to be afraid of Hashem. We should be embarrassed at our own stupidity, tipshus, that we are such fools that we don't even know how good God is to us, that we're oblivious to it. Only after we daven to get rid of the tipshus, and we fear, we're trembling from God that He shouldn't be upset with us for being so stupid, and we should be embarrassed that we're so foolish, then we could love God and have a yearning to do His ratzon. And then, now this is like a promise, guys, this is a mamash gevalt gezach. So everybody, you know, as I told you, the Skolnik Rebbe is in town, here I think till Tuesday or Wednesday. You can contact them at the Klugman residence, I think it's 6th Lane. So the big tzad, the Skolnik Rebbe, you don't want to miss one of the greatest tzaddikim with the door. And we want to get a bracha. And it's, you should go to Tzad for a bracha. But you can come here this morning and get a bracha straight from Hashem too. Tzaddik helps you appreciate what a bracha is, but don't know further. You can go right here to the Chavos Levavos, just listen carefully. And he says, this is what he says, V'kasha yase zos, when you follow my formula, and you get rid of the stupidity of your heart, which is so silly, so then, yavo elav hatoivais, hagdoilais, v'oirais, hagdolim meis elihim. Then, we'll be ready for the great goodness and the great light that Hashem has prepared for us. Like it says in Tillim, David Melech says, Hashem, bor ponecha yaleichon. Hashem, by the light of your face, we shall progress and go forward. And it says in Bamidbar, again, I don't understand why it puts Tillim before Bamidbar. Bamidbar, it says in the Birkas Kohanim, Yo'er Adonai ponav elecha v'yichunecha. Second one of the brachas, Yivrecha Hashem Yishmrecha. The second one is Yo'er Adonai ponav elecha v'yichunecha. May God shine His face upon you and give you grace. So he says, there's light of Hashem all over. The only thing is that we have a big piece of orla over our eyes, over our hearts. We see eyelids over our eyes. You have to open them up. There's a lid, there's a covering, there's a sheath, there's a foreskin, there's an envelope that is smothering our hearts and our minds, that the light will not come in. The minute we get rid of it, just like you can't, so we, I mean, look, you guys, open your eyes and there's light. If you close your eyes, I mean, if a person never, I have a friend, I have a Nebuch, I have a nephew, he has this thing called droopy eyelids, Nebuch. It's very sad, he's a very wonderful young man, but he can't keep his eyes open. It's a disease, I forget what it's called, some kind of disease. His eyelids closed, he can't keep them open. We don't even appreciate what is their eyelids. We open our eyes in the morning. We should say the bracha in the morning. Pokeach Ivrim. Let's be here for brachas. Maybe listen to it. We should say the bracha Pokeach Ivrim with kavana. That my eyes opened up this morning. Who appreciates eyelids? It just, of course, it's my God granted. I have a right to have eyelids. Well, my nephew doesn't, and he can't open his eyes. There's a guy Nebuch we had a while ago. He's better now, but he has Bell's palsy and he can't open. He can't even smile. His whole right side of his face was paralyzed for a couple of months. I'm not sure what he did, Baruch Hashem. He's better now, I see. Can't even open his mouth properly. His whole face is paralyzed. Who appreciates our face? We just take it for granted. You look in the mirror, magic mirror in the wall, every morning. Here I am. So once a person appreciates that everything is a gift from Hashem, so you open your eyelids, there's light. We open our hearts, then the light of Hashem will pour into every aspect of our lives. So, it says, so this was just a little bit of a tangent. So he says, okay, let's get back to the point. Point is, he says, Ikar HaKolo, the main thing is, She is nai klapi lehov b'chol apratim kol yevet. We have to deal with God in every aspect of life like a servant. V'yiyaches elo adnus lo levad b'leiv sholim. And they have to be like a servant to God all the time. Again, we don't see too many servants lately. And even the hired folks are pretty chutzpahdik. So, you know, my son, my children in Israel, my daughter-in-law just had a baby a little while ago, a couple weeks ago. So they had a lady come in to help with the second baby. She's tired, not feeling well after a baby. Hired this lady, Bible-toting shiksa, spouting the word of God. And she's a holy lady. And but something was a little fishy about this lady. And then they checked her out with the employment agency, and they paid her employment agency a whole fee and a commission. And she came bonded, warrantied, and everything. But something was missing. Things are missing in the house. Well, she went away one day, and they opened up her suitcase. They found jewelry, silverware, clothing, everything. Anything wasn't nailed down the house. Anything wasn't nailed down, she stole. Everything. So she was so subservient, like she was so, oh yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes ma'am, no ma'am. She stole everything. Mom, unbelievable. She stole it all. Everything. The works. They found clothing from her last job also, that they found from the last job too. Police came. Don't ask. Can't get rid of her, you know. This is Israel. Don't do the crack. You can't deport the crooks. It comes from South Africa. Can't get rid of her. You're stuck, you know. In Israel, you know, only Jewish people can get beat up, but Arabs, Goyim, you can't do anything about it. So the kids, we don't see the servant mentality. It's really amazing. I was in South Africa 9 years ago the first time, just when apartheid was falling apart, and I was in South Africa about 2 years ago. I mean, 9 years ago, the servants in the house where I stayed all the time, they were so subservient. It's really amazing. One of the Figgy, another one, I mean, they're really subservient. This time around, they've been with the family for 50 years. They talk differently. It's a whole different thing. I was like shocked. Same ones, they're not leaving, but they talk differently. They don't talk so subservient anymore. They don't talk as a yes ma'am, no ma'am. And they're talking KwaZulu and amongst each other, and they're winking to each other. I know what KwaZulu. You know, I don't understand apartheid, I don't understand Afrikaans, but much less Zulu and Xhosa. I don't understand these languages, but they're different. There's just no servants anymore in the world. Even those who used to be servants, they're just hard to find. So really, it's not joking. It's really hard to have an idea what it means to be a servant to a master. I'm supposed to be a servant to a bunch. What do you mean a servant to a master? I never saw it. Well, I'm a democracy. I mean, nobody has derech eretz. Parents don't have to talk to children anymore. I mean, just, you know, no one talks to derech eretz. That's why I always say, to me, it's such a gewaltige zach, when at least you walk out of shul, you walk out backwards, and you bow down to learn kodesh. When you walk out the door, you don't turn your back to learn kodesh. You walk out like this, like it said in Shulchan Aruch. That little act of subservience to Hashem, I think, has a big impact. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says that's how you're supposed to walk away from your Rebbe. Don't walk, turn your back on the Rebbe. It says in Shulchan Aruch. It says, Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Gimel. That when you take leave of, you depart from the presence of your rabbi, you're supposed to walk away backwards with your head down and walk out backwards. And that's what a child should do for his parent. And of course, children never would sit in their parents' seats and never contradict their parents. And of course, the Arizal says Friday night that children should kiss their parents' hands, certainly the mother's hand, should kiss the mother's hand Friday night. Wonderful minute. Kiss the mother's hand Friday night for preparing Shabbos. And after daddy gives them a patch, they should kiss the daddy's hand. But this is foreign today. Today, daddy gives a patch, called 9/11, child abuse line. Put your father in jail, you know. Don't you dare patch your child. I'm afraid to even say the words. I might get thrown to jail for like, someone might tell you, the rabbi's a. This rabbi is something, he's sick, he's pervert, he's shit. He tells people tells balabat and hit the children. I can't put in jail myself. You think it's a joke? You think it's a joke? At any rate, so the kids are, so a person should have a sense of avdus to the Rabbi Nishlom. But listen to this. Now, this is, Rabbi Isai, I'm sorry I didn't know this before Shabbos. If people are looking for an eitzah what to do today, in our present matzav, where our the respect the Goyim have for us individually, I don't know, I can't say I experience, I live in my ghetto here in Muncie, so I don't deal with the Goyim that much. But I don't know what the matzav is in America, I couldn't say. But in Israel, we know that the Arabs certainly have no respect and no fear for their, for a government. Let's not forget our overlords, a government. So how do you get the Goyim should have a little respect for us? So the Chozov says, it's very simple. The formula is very simple. Zog the Chavis Alavavis, you know, there's, everybody likes, you know, when you hear speeches, people like to say, oh, I am a student, I learned by Ramosha Feinstein. I am a Talmud of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. I was a Talmud of the Chavetz Chaim. So, I'm just a Talmud, I'm just a student, little kid. But I sense as a great rabbi, that makes me look important. If I was a pupil by a great person, so that makes me somewhat great. Certainly if I say, you know, if I would say, you know, I served in Napoleon's successful army before Waterloo, you know, it was a covet pre-Waterloo. If I say I was at D-Day, I was serving with Patton's 3rd Army. I was with Eisenhower at D-Day at the Utah, Omaha Beach, Gold Beach, Juneau, we went in there. I was in the successful army. I was under that general. I was just a private washing dishes. But I was in Patton's army. I was a nobody. I was a private sloshing through the mud. I never made it above private. I wasn't even a private first class. I had no class whatsoever. I was nothing. I peeled potatoes, KP duty, perpetual KP duty. I never could figure out how to shoot a gun. All I did was peel potatoes for Patton's 3rd Army. But Patton's 3rd Army, Gewalt, was a covet to shine Patton's boots. So, it's a covet to be a servant and to be an underling of a great person. Says the Chavetz Lvov is, by kings like that also. I'm a subject of a king. That's how it works. A person says, I'm a subject of a great king. So it's a chashivas. It's a chashivas to say you're the bat boy for the New York Yankees. It's a big chashivas, you know? If you're the bat boy for the New York Yankees, I was the bat boy. What did the bat boy do? But I was the bat boy for the world champions, 26 times World Series champions, 3 times in 4 years, and clean the kite. I shine Joe Torre shoes. I was the shit jingle. I was the gopher for the New York Yankees. It's a chashivas with the emblem. Yankees, New York Yankees, world champions. It's chashivas, very big chashivas. they had good at convention, so they took over these 3 hotels, and the place where they had all the tea rooms and stuff for snacks was a sports bar. I never been to a sports bar before. Spent Shabbos at a sports bar. What's a sports bar? The place all around is television sets. They were off on Shabbos, and then all around television sets. So you can turn on the sport of your liking. But right in the middle center stage of the sports bar with all the television sets around, you got a big New York Yankees, cap, the Yankees baseball cap, because this is the world champion. It was hanging there. This is it, that dominated the whole room, a Yankees cap. Very choshim. So big kids, sir, everybody wants to be related to someone choshim. So if a Yid would say that my biggest chashivas is to be a servant of the Rebbeinu Shlom, and I wouldn't be ashamed to let my tzitzis outside. I wouldn't be ashamed to wear a yarmulke. I'm not ashamed to have a beard. I'm not ashamed to tell people I'm Jewish. I'm not ashamed to not believe early on Fridays. I'm not ashamed to tell them I have to go tonight to Daven Mincha. I'm not ashamed to tell them that all my stuff, I only need kosher. So I would be very proud that I belong, I am a servant of the greatest God, the God of heaven and earth, Melech, Malchi, Amloch, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God who made the entire world. So to the extent that I'm Machshev the Rebbeinu Shlom, and I'm Machshev the fact that I am his humblest servant, that I'm happy to be able to sweep up the shul for God, I mean, my biggest kavod to go and clean out the toilets in the shul for the Rebbeinu Shlom, you should pardon the expression, but my biggest chashivas to clean up after Shalat Shud is, to that extent, the Goyim would look at us with awe, because we have done 2 things. Number one, they see the awe in which we hold our king, the Rebbeinu Shlalom, and they see our total subservience to that God, and how totally we are identified with him. So they would be in awe of him, and consequently, ipso facto, they'll be so scared of us, because they know you don't start up with the servant of the great king. You don't mess with the servant of the great king. You just don't mess with anybody belonging to the king. You don't start up with the king. He'll get you. So he says, Meredith, that's the whole answer to all anti-Semitism, says the Chavos of Avos. Everyone's looking for Aitzes. What to do today? How can we help the Jews in Israel? You know how to help the Jews in Israel? If they have no respect, if the world doesn't have respect for Israel today, and the Jews in Israel, and they don't care what the Arabs do to them, and they think that they have no respect for them, and the Welt condemns them, so the MS is a guy, I'm not one of these alarmists, I'm not one of these people who see anti-Semites lurking in every doorway, but it's partial, they have much less respect for us. And the reason is because we're not really Mechal Hashem Shemayim enough, and certainly Torah Jews in the last couple of years have done very well. I'm being Mechal Hashem Shemayim, unfortunately. And that's really what the Rapam, there was a, he couldn't come, he's Kanan Harb, 85, 86 years old, Rapam, there was a video of him on Thursday night at the convention, and the Novinsky Rebbe, Shlita, the Reish HaGudah spoke, and he spoke about one thing about them, each one of them for an hour, about the Chilul Hashem of dishonest Jews, with dishonest business, with cheating and crookery, and all the stuff, the government programs, all the stuff, that's all they focused on. But the truth is that this Chovas Levavas would have been the perfect ending to the subject. Because therefore, if we're Mechal Hashem Shemayim, so that means the God that we claim as our king, we make our God cheap. Mechal Hashem Shemayim is that we desecrate our God, so our God is not sacred, not important. His face, so to speak, is sullied and muddied. If we ourselves throw mud in the face of our king, so we as servants are worthless. If we make the king worthless, we're worthless, which much more worthless. And the only way to reestablish kvayt for Klal Yisrael is when Klal Yisrael is covered in the Rabbanu Shalom. The other thing is Jewish pride. So I am always very happy to promptly throw in the garbage, these expensive things I get like every 2 weeks from the World Jewish Congress, that they're going to defend the rights of Jews in the world. And if you don't fight for Jewish pride, you're dead. So you better sign up with Edgar Bronfen for his ego trip. So I better sign up to the World Jewish Congress. The only ones in the world who are protecting Jewish rights is the World Jewish Congress. And if that's not enough, next week I'll get something from the Holocaust Center, and a nation who forgets is going to be having the Holocaust again, and you better contribute to the Holocaust Center, be it in Los Angeles, maybe in New York, or maybe here, maybe there, or else you're doomed. Well, I don't go for that. The only way to stop my Holocaust is by, if I would daven like a mensch, if I would Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, wherever I go, and let the world know that there's a great God of Jews, and I am as lowly, humble as servant, and therefore I wouldn't do a thing which contradicts his divine directives. I will not steal. I will not cheat. I will not speak profanely. I will not speak vulgarities. I will obey the laws of the land. I will do what's right. And I'll be a good citizen. And I'll have good citizenship. I'll be a model. I'll be a role model. And I'll tell people I'm such a role model because God told me to do so. And I'm not going to cut you out of line in traffic. And I'm going to be a good driver. And I'll do whatever else is necessary. And people look at me and say, wow, you know why this guy is so honest and decent and fine? Because he says, he told me, I asked him, how can you be so decent? He said, because he's a servant of God of Israel. So he's a great God, the God of Israel. I'm in awe of the God of Israel. And I'm in awe of this Israel who believes in such a God. So he says in the Torah, in Devarim, that Hashem hemir chayim liyayis liyam segula. Hashem, by our Sinai, and then again before they went there, it's Israel. After 40 years, Hashem designated the Jewish people as the Am Segula, his treasured nation, his treasured chosen people. And then, if we recognize that with our greatest chus is to serve God, to be Hashem's servants, and people see how medaktik and halacha, and other Jews would see how mamash make a bracha properly, and we do every halacha properly, make an ashiyotza properly, how we got our eyes and our lips from not doing the wrong things, then the pasuk says, "Ulesitcha el yain al kol agoyim asher osa letehila l'shem etzeferes." Then, to the extent that you give tehila l'Hashem, to the extent that you praise Hashem, Hashem will give you supremacy, Jewish supremacy over all the goyim. We are not intrinsically better than the goyim. We are the same genes. We're the same Caucasians. We have the same genetics. Ashkenazic Jews maybe have you know, genetically, very interesting genes we have, very interesting gene pool that love our genes, because we're such unique genes, Ashkenazic Jews. But the fact is essentially that that little gene difference between Ashkenazic Jews and the rest of them is infinitesimal compared to the whole billion of sites on the gene, on the genome map. We are human beings like everybody else in the world. We're not better than a black or a yellow or a white or a blue. We have the exact same genes as the rest. Every human being has the same genes. Slight mutation, slight difference in pigmentation, slightly different slanted eyes, but that's Kleinigkeit. The difference between me and the Japanese and me and the black and me and the yellow, or me and a Lucian or me and an Aborigine in Australia, compared to what we have in common. We have a billion genes in common, and we have a few genes of color and certain shape different. It's mamish nothing. So why is a Jew better? I'm not better. I'm nothing better. I'm not a superior race. I'm not Aryan. I'm not the superior race. I'm not Hitler. I'm not Aryan or blonde or blue. I'm only superior in one way. That our fathers, starting with our Zayd Avram, said we're going to tell the world that we are servants of a great God. I'm being servants of a great God, we became great. Because whatever I'm identified with, even if I'm the lowliest lackey potato peeler, I become great by association. I become great by association. That's why we're a special nation. And when the Goyim realize that we represent the greatest God, they will have fear for us. They won't throw rocks at us. They won't shoot at us. And they won't dare make an intifada. Because we will be the people of God. But to the extent that in Eretz Yisrael, Jews are not associated with being the people of God, and the extent that these peaceniks want to live a life like an Arab, and they go to send the kids to the same schools as Arabs, as idiots, and they think the way to appease an Arab is by living like an Arab, and by talking like an Arab, being trafe like an Arab. The Arabs are more kosher than they are, Rahman al-Islam. So all these secularists, these totally misled, misguided seculars, the way to get close to the Arabs is by being an Arab. That will make peace. And the way anti-Semitism will stop, says Herzl, was that the Jewish people have to be normal. The normalization of the Jewish people. When the Altnoy Land writes Herzl, the great Tzad, because kids didn't have a bris milah, if we'll stop bris milah, we'll stop all the stuff that makes Jews different, then the Goyim won't hate us anymore. The normalization of the Jews will be a regular nation like Bulgaria, then they don't hate Bulgarians any more than they hate Ukrainians or French. We'll be like the rest of the nations. That's the way to go. No, chas v'shalom. So a Yid is special because we are the servants of Hashem. And he says, when this Hashem's great name will be called upon us, will be Elyon Al-Kol Elyonim Beinei Kol HaGoyim, will be supreme of supreme in the eyes of all the Goyim. Not that we should lord over the Goyim and exploit the Goyim and expect the Goyim should thereby serve us. No, so we should inspire the Goyim that they should be godly and they should be They should feel better about themselves. Our purpose is not to make people feel low and nothing and put them down, chas v'shalom. It's a kleinigkeit. But the point is that we are the superior nation, so that every human being should feel superior and godly and recognize the tzelem akim that they have. And we're the biggest. We should be the biggest, non-biggest that there are. So the Yisoid is, it says in the Devarim Yikimcha Adonai Lo Le'am Kadosh, Hashem will make you to a great holy nation. The only way the Goyim will recognize that we are supreme is if we are holy. Not by the fact we have rockets and Apache helicopters and that we have more firepower and we have a nuclear plant in Dimona. We will be on top when we are the holiest nation in the world and the world sees. And the pasuk ends, Yekimcha Adonai Lo Le'am Kodesh Kasher Nishba Loch Ki Sishmar Es Mitzvah Es Adonai Lehech V'Lach V'Drachav. When we guard the mitzvahs of Hashem and follow in Hashem's ways. V'ra'u Kol Amei Yoharetz Ki Shem Adonai Nikro Alecha V'Yaru Mimecha. When the nations of the world will see the name of God upon us. And the Gemara says that means when Yidl start walking in the street wearing Tefillin Sharosh all day. So when the Yidden going down to the 47th Street will wear tefillin shorosh to work, like supposed to wear tefillin all day, we tefillin all day. All excited, and Jews went to battle. It used to be the soldiers. It says in Rashi that especially shaved God when they went to battle, they wore the tefillin. They wore the tefillin shorosh and tefillin shayad. Goyim saw these Jewish people coming with these black boxes on their heads. And they saw, not black boxes, they saw the Kedusha of the Jewish people. They saw the name of God. They didn't see a black box. They saw that, and Gemara says, Elu Tzelen Sheb Birosh. doesn't say leave that tefillin on your head. There's a tefillin in your head. They saw the Jews had the tefillin message in their head. The Jews were walking tefillin. Every Jew was mamish wrapped. The tefillin was part of us. It's not like on top of us. It is an extent, it is part of our being. It's part of our head. Like we have a nose protruding, we have a tefillin protruding. It's part of our physiognomy. We have a physiognomy, we have a white nose and a black bump on our head over here, and it's part of me. Then they're going around the way. They know what's up with us. So he says, when the goyim yisyafs are letting be yiras hakavod, the goyim will have kavod for us. Yiras hakavod, awe, reverence. Why? If they kvoy the shalab boyre, because of the awe and the glory of God. The yivchadu meitanu meglala pachad, the daf in their banishdom. Like it says in Yirmiyahu, mila yarocha melech hagoyim. So he continues on this. I'll stop here though. So he says this is the seventh meditation. The seventh meditation is that Jews must recognize that we are total servants to Hashem. We are marionettes, totally locked up on the strings of the puppeteer, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, who is the grand puppeteer. And to the extent that we totally give our lives to the great God, the nations of the world will recognize our own greatness and they will not dare start with us. We have the whole answer. There's the whole political answer summed up here, very, very brief, pashut. If you think that's, so what can we do for Eretz Yisrael? The more that we are Mekadeshim Shemayim here in America, the more we send out a spirit and the message, what a Jew really is, wherever we are, because Hashem put us here, it must be that's what we have to do over here. And our brethren in Israel, our observant brethren there, will be Mekadeshim Shemayim more where they are. This will breed a sense of awe in the world for us, and they won't dare start with us. That's the only solution to the Jewish problem. That's the only solution. Halavai, we should take it. I understand that tomorrow is the time of shows. I haven't, understand that tomorrow is a day of fasting, and it wasn't announced that maybe they announced last night. They're going to be, I left early because I should come here today well rested, so I didn't hear what was announced, but I understand. Anyway, tomorrow, make sure you come to davening early. It's a good day. Tomorrow is Erev Rosh Chodesh. It's Yom Kippur Katan, by the way. Erev Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur Katan. It's the time of Tzilah B'chlal. I understand that they announced that people should fast a couple of hours in the morning, not to fast the whole day, but a little epis tomorrow, say extra tillim. Tomorrow is Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Rosh Chodesh is always a special day, but it's definitely an Eish Tzar. I don't know what's going on. I've been away from the news for a couple of days. I hope nothing terrible happened. But David should help, and this is the formula of why we should follow the formula. Rabbi Chanan Bekashomer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Lizag, Yisrael Lefichon, Vatar Mitzvah, Nemanech Vesaman Sitko, Yadu Tarv Yadir.